How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another edition of the Fighter, the Writer, and the Fans podcast. You know, welcome to FWF Nation. I'm on the road right now, so if you hear a little bit of background noise, I honestly do apologize for that. But the fights going on this weekend are just way too good for me to not go ahead and talk about it, kind of give my thoughts, my opinions, so on and so forth. And to just kind of, you know, air how I truly feel about these fights, what's going on. We got UFC 293, Israel Adesanya versus Sean Strickland, happening in a couple hours at this point. You know, Sunday over there in Australia, Saturday for all of us over here on the other side of the world. So it's honestly a super duper amazing card. I'm looking forward to it. We got Israel Adesanya, you got Tai Tuivasa, we have Volkov, you have Manel Cape. Man, we got a whole lot of guys that's on these cards. It's going to be some of the ones I'm really going to honestly talk about. It's probably going to be specifically those three. Go ahead and kind of talk about what I think might be their easiest path to success, what might be their potential future matchups going forward, and honestly, just my thoughts on the overall card. You know, the UFC hasn't been to Australia in a bit, so, you know, they're kind of going back with the city kickboxing using Israel with his he's been over in New Zealand. So they got some of the other Australians like Tai Tuivasa, you know, Mr. Shuey himself looking to go ahead and get back into the winning streak. And, you know, Sean's looking to become a champ for the first time. So I'm kind of go ahead and just break down the cards. So Manel Cape's up against a newer addition to the UFC. Opponent that was looking to fight on the Contender Series, but honestly got bumped straight into the UFC. It's almost a rocky story when it comes down to this. You know, the kid's undefeated, you know, really, really good finisher, you know, on that. Well, coming off of a good streak of finishes himself, looking to see just how he was testing himself in the Contender Series, that's quite the ginormous jump. Going from looking to fight on the Contender Series to going up against and fighting a top 10 fighter in the world, top 10 flyweight, a dynamic striker, coming off of four-fight win streak, you know, having some beautiful finishers, with a very quick and dynamic and crafty fighter, Manel Cape. I got to go ahead and do a little bit of research, try and find some of his opponent's film and kind of just get a feel for it. Honestly, I think the only way that he's able to win, he's going to have to try and close that distance, you know, get past the dynamic kicks and striking that Manel has to offer, look to try and get it to the ground, possibly go for a submission. I do not think that he has the striking acumen to be able to hang with Manel. You know, he's one of the few flyweights to have knockouts on a consistent basis at flyweight. So being able to add in the dynamicism, the footwork, the movement that he has, I know he's going to be looking to close that distance and get the fight to the ground and try to get a submission. On Manel's side, honestly, I think we're going to see a very, very beautiful showcase of, because he's already calling for a title shot. So, you know, he's putting in that work. He's looking to go ahead and fight Pantoja, who's an amazing striker in himself, you know, very, very well-rounded fighter. So he's going to go ahead and look to put the icing on the cake, try and get a dominant finish. Especially, he already dismissed the fighter, saying that he's lucky, he doesn't belong in the UFC, so on and so forth, or saying that he doesn't belong in the same cage, and basically, I'm not going to say the UFC per se, but basically saying that there's levels to this. So I think we're going to see him utilize that jab quite a bit, kind of keep the fight at long range, start to pick him apart, might throw some of his spinning kicks here and there. He looks, but I think he's going to honestly look to set up a nice power 1-2. I give it a second round finish. And Manel Cape's way, I give it a TKO. Go ahead and talk about Tai Tuivasa versus Volkov. Volkov's fought the who's. He's fought just about bloody everybody when it comes down to the people looking for that title shot, people looking to make a name for themselves at heavyweight. You know, everybody's talking about the John Jones, the Cyril Gane, so on and so forth. But Volkov is honestly not too far outside that picture. You know, the only part, he did extremely well against Derek Lewis. You know, he was winning the fight up until when he wasn't, sad to say. You know, he's always been able to perform and deliver against the top competition that we have over in the UFC. So Tai Tuivasa, you know, he's going to kind of come in. Honestly, I give the striking edge when it comes to the lateral movement, the distance control, the range. I honestly have to give that to Volkov. He's an extremely long guy. He utilizes his long twos very well, uses his one twos, has a very good outside round kick, really good head kicks. I'm going to lean towards Volkov. I know I didn't kind of even get to tie it to Tuivasa yet, but I just think that Volkov has too many weapons, a lot of experience, amazing cardio, and it's just able to mix it up very, very well to kind of look to find that finish. I don't think he gets the finish, though. I think, honestly, he wins by decision. If I see anybody winning by finish, I think it's going to be tied to Tuivasa. He has that cross from hell, you know, that power shot kind of does it like almost like an overhand chopping right combination. It's not really a straight shot. It's more on that arc, especially going up against a taller fighter, which is crazy seeing as how they're both big heavyweights. But I definitely think that he's going to look to kind of get in there, keep it more so at boxing range, kind of do a little bit of dirty boxing, work some in the clinch. Volkov is very, very nasty in the clinch. He has very good knees, very, very good elbows. I think Ty is going to have more of his success in that clinch range. But I think when it gets to that clinch range, Volkov is going to look to kind of get some trips and get some takedowns, make Ty Tuivasa tired, win, get some ground and pound strikes, kind of just win some rounds that way. And honestly, I think he gets a 3-down decision. Going down to the main event, the fight that everybody really wants to see. It's a strong Strickland versus Israel Adesanya. Sean has been making the media, just feeding them with so many one-liners and so much postable content. He is honestly, truly living and enjoying his moment, getting this title shot. He's doing everything he possibly can to try and get into Izzy's head, to get him out of his game. You know, he pays homage, he gives him respect and so forth, but he's doing pretty much just about everything he possibly can to try and get a little bit of a mental edge. He feels like he might be able to get over on Izzy make a mistake. But I'm going to go ahead and kind of get down to the meat and the potatoes about this, honestly. So when it comes down to the start, the length of fights, the ways of victory, so on and so forth, you know, Sean Strickland's on that Nick Diaz kind of drown you at volume, mixing power shots here and there, has grappling, doesn't really utilize it until he's forced to do so. But he's more than happy to honestly just box you, clinch you, throw some knees and elbows. He'll throw some kicks here and there. They're mainly like front kicks, or he might throw a few round kicks towards the guard here and there. But he's predominantly going to kind of just walk you down into that pocket and just swarm and drown you. You know, he's a puncher boxer. You know, he's looking to kind of slip in those power shots whenever he can and just overwhelm your pure volume, overstimulate your central nervous system and just look to make you exhausted, exasperated, have you overextend and look to capitalize when he finds some openings in there like he kind of did in his last fight. You know, he kind of let his opponent punch himself out in a sense, and he kind of just, once he saw that his opponent was kind of taking the wheels off, kind of slowed the speed a little bit, he just went in for that kill. When it comes to Izzy is as diverse as a striker as you're going to get in mixed martial arts. You know, he's a pure thoroughbred striker, has that very, very long stance, very, you know, able to do beautiful work at long range. He has question mark kicks, he has those nice calf kicks, a beautiful jab, you know, he has really good check hooks on his own work, great head movement. You know, at that long range distance, I don't think Sean's going to want to stay whatsoever, but he's going to, honestly, like I said, look to march him down. So I have to put together some punch combinations, just try to overwhelm and drown Izzy. It's not going to be, he's going to look to make it a dogfight, realistically. Izzy, at his range, is going to look to kind of just pick his shots. He's going to snipe, you know, he's going to look for those shots here and there. He's going to work in those feints, set up his long tools, work those teeps, work those calf kicks, pump the life out of that jab, and look to kind of just set up his next counter shot. Strickland has an amazing jab as well. I just think that Izzy's has a different utilization. He's able to utilize a lot more. And then the difference in the reach advantage is insane. Izzy has an 80-inch reach. Sean's is in the 60s. So just having to overcome that reach advantage is going to be a challenge there within itself, and especially when you have such a diverse set of weapons being tossed your way. It's an amazing, beautiful fight. I'm looking forward to it. Me, personally, I'm going to have to give it to Izzy. I say probably second round TKO. I think that Sean's going to work a lot. If Sean is able to mix in his wrestling, I think it's going to make the fight be a different outcome. But if you look at his fight against Alex Bejeda, was, you know, as a different stylistically in a sense, but not too far off when you have a pure kickboxer. And Strickland being the more well-rounded mixed martial artist, we saw that he honestly decided to stand and trade. I'm thinking that he would have took some lessons from that loss, like as all martial artists do, kind of went back and revamped the game plan, so on and so forth. But He's an action fighter. You know, he's looking to make a name for himself. He's looking to not have boring fights, which is why we all love him and tune in when he fights. But I don't think he's going to look to wrestle too much with Adesanya. I think he might look to get those clinch engagements. I think he might work some ground and pound here and there. But I think for the most part, we're going to have a stand-up war. And if you're going to go toe-to-toe with one of the best kickboxers on planet Earth, you know, the outcome is, as has happened with so many of his previous opponents, you're going to end up on your butt looking up at the lights wondering what happened. That's kind of just my quick take on UFC 293. I apologize, I said I'm on the road. I hope you all enjoyed the card. I'm going to look to do a post-fight breakdown, kind of see how things played out with my co-host after the fight's all said and done. Hope you all enjoy it. I thank you all for hanging out with us and rocking for us throughout the years. Talk to you all next time. Thank you.